Can you hear me? This is especially for you, Wanzi. You know what? I know, that is kind of, is it too loud? Oh, bless you, I know. No, but, well, bless you, I know. Y'all know the Tuttle twins. They're not twins, but the Tuttle sisters. We love them dearly. Love them so much. But we did, what I was going to say is last week I gave really, well, we just basically said it was my testimony. I just gave a lot of backstory, you know, on my family and situations and the fact that my father attempted suicide, his mother attempted suicide, you know, just how that had really kind of set me up for some thought patterns that were certainly not coming from God. And so I told Georgia, I said there were just three things that I really wanted to share at the end last time that I didn't have the opportunity. So with that in mind, I want to just share this particular thing with you. There were three points in this depression, and I think really oftentimes it's true with any time that you're having any kind of hard situation. There's a beginning, and there's a midpoint, and there's an end. But I said last time that when you're in a difficult situation, regardless of whether it's something emotional or a physical or a family situation or whatever, really the universal questions are, why is this happening and when will it be over? And I want to add a third one to that tonight because I think this is very important. How did I get here? And I thought about that, and you've got the 7 points of vulnerability in your notebook. But I started with the very first one is exhaustion, because that's what took me there. That's what got me going in that particular direction. So that was the beginning. As we progress through these, through all these various vulnerabilities, I'll share a midpoint, which was the suicidal point in my life. And I told you, you know, that the Lord had, I had prayed two prayers that kept me, and I, you know, that really kept me from taking my life. And one was keep me. I just had prayed that, keep me. And then, you know, the other one was I asked him to mark me with the fear of the Lord. And so those were keeping prayers along with the intercession and the mercy and grace of God that got me through that midpoint. And so as I say, I'll share the progression, but that's just what I wanted to share at the very end last time, is that there, and I will just start out with the very beginning, which was what took me there, which is the exhaustion. I was caregiver to my in-laws, and if you ever had to take care of anybody, I would hope that they would be just like my in-laws. They were the most grateful, uncomplaining, appreciative people that you have ever seen in your life. They were literally like my own mother and father. I mean, that's just how close we were and how dear they were to me. And in February of 1989, my father-in-law had quadruple bypass surgery, and my mother-in-law had Parkinson's. And so, obviously, she was somewhat incapacitated. She could still really walk with assistance at that time. Had not gotten to the wheelchair stage, but had to have, you know, good care. And so, along with my sister-in-law, who lived out of town, and a brother-in-law that was several states away, it really was just the logical thing for me to be the caregiver, because I was 10 minutes away. Loved them. They loved me. And it all just was, it was just a perfect setup, I think. It's really what God wanted for me at that point in time. But I remember he had that surgery in February, and sometime, it was either late February or early March, I just remember it was really still really cold, and I remember I was so tired. You've heard that if you've lived in the South very long, you've heard bone tired. Well, I was bone tired, and I just remember just lying down on the living room floor. I literally did just lay down on the floor, you know, just to kind of catch my breath. And so there was this progression began at that particular point in time. And so, you know, made it on through the spring, you know, the summer. And I can tell you probably by June, my tank was about an eighth of a gallon. I was about an eighth of a tank. I was really just going downhill and running out quickly. And what happens is, and I want you to hear me on this, when you give out and give out and give out, eventually you give out. Because you've got to have the rest. Rest is imperative. I want you to think about that. Rest is imperative. I mean, God rested. But I want you, you know, I thought about this just in regard to the lifestyle that we live and the difference in the lifestyle that I lived growing up as a child. There were three channels in Atlanta, 2, 5, and 11. And it came on at 7 in the morning, or maybe 6 in the morning. And it went off at 11 o'clock at night, and there was nothing there but the test pattern. And some of you have heard me tell this. I did our chapel at our school for middle schoolers, and I was telling them this story about how different life was. And I said, "Do you know what a test pattern is?" And it was like a deer in headlights. And so you know what I told them to do? I said, "Just Google it, because you can pull up a test pattern. You can see what it looked like." But you know, that's just the life that we live. We did not run 24/7. And we're not designed to run 24/7. And we've got probably 1,500 channels or however many you want to pay for, you know, running in the house 24/7. So it was a very different lifestyle. But as I was progressing through that, and I could really tell by August I was running on fumes. I mean, I just didn't have anything left. And to be very, I said the two things that I really explained how I felt physically. I felt like the nerve endings in my body were just exposed. I mean, if the phone rang, I mean, it jolted me. You do have a nervous system. And you know, y'all know I've gotten over these shingles for about the last 4 months. And what lingers after the shingles dry up and go away is this nerve pain. But there was just something going on that I really physically, I felt like just the nerve endings were there. And when somebody would ask me, you know, if you could just sum it up in one word, how did you feel? I said, I felt fragmented. I had two in college. Elizabeth, my daughter, who's going to give her testimony, she was coming up on six and going into first grade. And this is why I wanted to give you all the backstory about my family before. Because when I was about to turn, I went into first grade and I turned six in September. And that was the year that my father had the nervous breakdown. So what am I correlating? You know, the enemy was just beginning to use that on me. And so I was thinking those kind of thoughts. Had not really expressed that, but my sister-in-law called me. And she said, "I just feel like I need to tell you that what happened to your daddy is not going to happen to you." Well, I wanted to just drop to my knees. I was like, and you know, I told you that all throughout the whole depression time, God would like throw me these life preservers. That was a big one, because it was just like he saw the things that I was dealing with. And that's what I think we all need to remember. Is I said that last week, when you think you know everything, God knows one more thing. You know, and so oftentimes he will tell you and give you what you need in that particular moment. But when I say that I was going downhill, I mean, on a good night, I might sleep 3 hours, maybe on a good night. I could not eat. I lost about 30 pounds from August to December. In fact, Leanne came home one weekend and she said, "Have you got on my jeans?" And I said, "I don't remember what those kind of jeans were. It's what everybody wanted." Yeah, there you go. And she said, "If you got on my jeans?" I said, "Yes." You know, but I mean, I was just wasting away, because I absolutely could not eat. And I remember specifically, I would think, "I've got to eat." You know, you just know that you have to eat. And so I remember I would get like a piece of cheese out of the refrigerator. It was like the more I chewed it, the bigger it got. I would just have to go and just spit it in the garbage disposal. And so when I say that things were bad, it's easy sometimes when you're on this side of it that I never want to glorify the enemy. But I do want to be very realistic and upfront for you, and to know that it was very, very bad. So that was one of the main things. No sleep, no appetite, incredible anxiety. And I wanted it to be, it must be hormones. It must be hormones. I'm going to the gynecologist who delivered Elizabeth. In fact, he and his wife, just good friends of ours. And so one day, I will never forget this. I was out in the yard and I was raking leaves, and it was like the intensity of the anxiety, and it was so oppressive. And I literally just went in the house and called his office. And this was back in the day, you know, when you usually had one secretary, one nurse, and the doctor, so it wasn't like a big deal. Anyway, and I told her, I said, "I just really need to, you know, come see him." And so I did all the blood work, go back in his office, and he leans over his desk and he said, "Muriel, you know what I think this is?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Warfare." That's the good Christian doctor for you. And that was what began. As I say, I wanted it to be something physical. I don't know if you all remember that the quote that I gave last week from C.S. Lewis, but about that mental pain is much worse than physical pain. that it's easier to say my tooth is hurting than to say my heart is breaking. You know, there's just something about that, because there's a physical element where you think that you're going to be able to do something. Well, there was no way out of this except where God was going to take me. So with that said, you want to go on to the little next one here? I've got three quotes here, and I love this one. Life can only be understood backwards. That's why we call it what? 2020 hindsight, but must be lived forward. And see, now that I'm on the other side of that, that's how all of these points of vulnerability came, was in hindsight. How did I get here? And the very first one was exhaustion. And every single thing that we're going to be talking about week by week were things that I actually experienced. But I love this. And I want you just to think about this. Think about looking back at your life and situations and circumstances and things that happened. You didn't understand why. And then you look back and and it was like, God, you had a great plan. So many times I just feel like that happens to us. But I think this is a great quote. We can only understand it backward, but how do we have to live it? Forward, not fun. All right, let's go to that next one. I love this. I told y'all I'm a quote keeper, and I've got all these quotes in my old Bible, and this is one that I've got taped in there. Some seek bread, and some seek wealth and ease, and some seek fame, but all are seeking rest. How did that word just make you feel, even when Hannah just said that word? There's just something about that word, rest. And, you know, I think about my great-grandparents. They were farmers up in Cherokee County. And when the sun went down, they went down. When the sun came up, they got up. See, they lived that lifestyle, and that really is the way we're designed. In fact, when you read Genesis, it says the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. So when does your day really start? The night before. Did your mother ever tell you that if you would lay your clothes out at night, you wouldn't be running around here in the morning trying to find your shoes if you prepare the night before? And see, there's something by design in that we make a preparation. In fact, that's still the way, you know, the Jewish Sabbath, you know, it starts, you know, Friday evening, you know, and goes through Saturday. So I think there's a lot of value in that. So let's go to the next one. All right, now I'm going to tell you a story before I share this quote with you. Our associate pastor at our church, and this has been obviously several years ago, but he had a massive heart attack. And if you're a Methodist, you know that every year they have annual conference. I see all the Methodists nodding. They have annual conference, and where they always had it, this particular year it happened to be in Augusta, and it was a good thing, because if he had not been close to the Medical College of Georgia, there would have been a different outcome. He called our senior pastor about 3 or 4 in the morning and said that, you know, I mean, he was in distress. Needless to say, he was having a massive heart attack was what was happening. Well, he's a type A personality. He's with the Lord now, lived many years after what I'm telling you right now, but really was just that kind of person. He was barely finishing this thing until he was on to the next thing. Well, you can imagine that when the doctor told him he was going to have to change his lifestyle, you know, he was going to have to dial it back and slow it down. And the first sermon that he preached at our church after he, you know, had recovered and had some time of rest at home, and he said the whole time all he kept hearing was his piano teacher saying, "Sam, you have to learn to play the rest." Take that to heart. And I love this quote from John Ruskin. There is no music in a rest, but there is the making of music in the rest. I just want you to take it to heart tonight that God does not want you exhausted. In fact, the invitation that Jesus gives, which was the first scripture that was put up that really was foundational for what Hannah shared, is, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden." And he says what? "I will give you rest." The world will not give you rest. He said, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." When you're yoking up with the world, or you're yoking up with everything that everybody else wants you to do, Casey's going to give some testimony to that next week. But he says, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your soul." And I mentioned this last week, that your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. And that's something that is under attack all the time. And I want to stress this. I thought about this today. I want to emphasize the fact we all know about physical exhaustion. But you know what? There's emotional exhaustion. And one of the things that I thought about in regard to emotional exhaustion was what did we, in 2 years, for 2 years, fear is an emotion. What did we live in for 2 years? Fear. Fear. And so I think a lot of us were not only physically exhausted, but we were emotionally exhausted because you never knew what was coming down next. You were getting this, you know, you were getting this information here and that information there. And one of the things that we're going to talk about that will really pertain probably far more to the pandemic is we're going to talk about isolation. And one of the things that, in fact, when Georgia and I did the, when we did the seasons back in the summer, and one of the things that I really emphasized was find your people. It's about community. Elise, I'm just going to call you out on this. If there's anybody that has really had a heart for women's ministry in regard to community, it's Elise. And I want to give a shout out too that any of you that can come on Tuesdays at 12:15 to pray with us. We pray from 12:15 to 2. Cindy, there's, you know, Linda. And I'll tell you what's so beautiful about that is that we've prayed together now. Number one, the confidentiality element, but also the oneness of heart that we all have. In fact, last week I was going to pray something and Carol prayed it. I mean, but that happens so often, you know, and so I think that there's that oneness of mind and heart, you know, that we so desperately need. But I just wanted to emphasize tonight, I'm not going to go on because my daughter is going to give her testimony, and it's 18 minutes long, and so I want to be sure that I be sure that I give her her time because I'm looking because it's 20 till, and I want us to have table time. But anyway, your takeaway for tonight is that you're designed for rest. You are not designed to run 24/7, and just to wake up to that and be aware of how the enemy wants you. I mean, he just wants you moving all the time, and we're not designed for that. So, with that, let me see if there. Yeah. Yes, let's put those up, Georgia. Thank you. There you go. Hold on, Elizabeth. No, but this is one that we're so familiar with, but we don't take it to heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to do what? To lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And what does that literally mean? Waters of quietness. Some of you heard me tell this about, in fact, Elizabeth may remember this, but we were going to school one morning and I just turned off the radio in the car. I said, let's just listen to the quiet. And in my reading room at school, I had K-3 through fourth grade. And so one day I said, okay, we're going to all not say anything because I said, I want you to hear something. And if you move, if you say anything, you cannot hear it. Well, of course, and then of course the air conditioner kicks on at the school. But anyway, when I got them back, anyway, and they were like, and I said, do you hear it? And I said, it's the quiet. And I said, you never hear that. And we don't either. And so we need to give each other the liberty, you know, to really give ourselves. And I love calling it my quiet time. You know, Casey and I laughed when the pandemic first happened because we like our solitude, don't we, Casey? And so anyway, it was kind of like, well, this is nice. Nobody can come to the door. Nobody's, you know, the whole thing. But after a few weeks, it was time to get back with community. So, but anyway, your takeaway for tonight is just to be aware of how the enemy wants to stress you, stretch you, keep you going. And God's invitation is this. So he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. I think we got one more. This was one of the scriptures that carried me through. It was a lifeline that he threw out to me. And I love it. It's Isaiah 42, 3a. A bruised reed he will not break, and a burning wick or a dimly burning wick he will not quench or extinguish. So he's not trying to poke you and hurt you. He's trying to protect. Because I was like a little bruised reed. And I felt like the fire had burned down. You know, the flame had really burned down. And he did not want to put it out. He was not going to try to quench it. He was going to try to protect it, blow on it, you know, and bring it back to life. So with that, I'm going to turn this off.